Welcome back. We are at stage three in our journey. To do a quick review, actually, I'm just going to set this. I know it's good. Just to do a quick review, the end of last class, we spent some time looking at the structure of the calendar, not from a mathematical point of view, but just in terms of the months, days in the month, what does our calendar look like? And essentially what we concluded was that we have our months follow the lunar cycle, 29 and a half days, because you can't have half a day in a month, you have to alternate 29 days one month, 30 days the next month. In theory, that should even out at the end of a year. And so more or less, we have 30, 29, 30, 29, 30, 29, alternating all through the entire year. 12 months, 6 months, 29 days, 6 months, 30 days. However, when they set the calendar in place, they left 2 months with a day that could be either added or subtracted, a chaser or male, deficient or full month, in order to allow for some play in the calendar based on other needs. We'll see what those other needs are, specifically related to the holidays. It's those needs and that need to structure the calendar according to the holidays of the year that Chazal wanted in play. The other piece of it was the leap year, and that we had spoken about two classes ago, how we came up with the 19-year cycle of the leap year. The month that is always defined as the leap year month is the second Adar, or first Adar, whichever you want to call it, but essentially Adar is the one that gets doubled up, the month just before Nisan, because, of course, of the calculations that we discussed in the two classes ago, that the leap year cycle is defined by the month of Tishrei. That's right, by the month of Nisan. So that's where we're more or less left off in our previous class. What those two variable months, Cheshvan and Kislev, led us to is three different kind of year types, or three different possible lengths of a lunar calendar year. You can have a Kisidra year, meaning that in a normal sequence, where this is what it looks like, 30, 29, 30, 29 for each day of the month, for each of the months, you have 29 days in Cheshvan, 30 days in Kislev, and your months alternate accordingly. That's called a Kisidra, a regular year. If you have 29 days in each month, you have one day short, your year is a day shorter than a normal or Kisidra year. That's called a Chasera, incomplete. And if both months have 30 days, that's called Shlema, or a complete or excessive year. And these are the variables that essentially Chazal left in play in order to be able to manipulate the holidays according to the needs, which we'll see momentarily. The other piece, this is just a quick review from last week, the other piece that we concluded last week was that the Molad of any given month is zero to do with Rosh Chodesh of that month. The Molad of any given month is irrelevant to the calculation of when Rosh Chodesh is. Does that sound like a chiddush to anybody? Does that sound like a novelty, or is that understood? Okay. The molad, the only molad that is of any relevance to the calculations of the calendar is molad of Tishrei. Because the molad of Tishrei is what's going to be necessary to decide when Rosh Hashanah is going to be, and that's going to be the key calculation, is when Rosh Hashanah is this year, when Rosh Hashanah is next year, or when Rosh Hashanah needs to be next year, and how many days, therefore, the year needs to have in order to play with the variables here. So Molad of Tishrei is the only Molad I care about as far as the calendar goes. Everything else is preset in this sequence. If it's a leap year, this is what it's going to look like. If it's Chasera, you're going to have 29-29. If it's Kisidra, you're going to have 29-30. And if it's Shlema, you're going to have 30-30 in these 2 months of Cheshvan and Kislev. Other than that, the only Molad I care about is Molad of Tishrei.
Which is the Molad
we do not announce, because we don't announce anything related to Rosh Chodesh of Rosh Hashanah, correct? It's built into the calculations of the calendar. It's irrelevant vis-a-vis Rosh Chodesh, announcements, Kiddush Havana. The Molad of a month is relevant only to Kiddush Levana that we talked about last week as well, and that we have a halacha that allows us to calculate when we say Kiddush Levana based on when the Molad is of any given month. But other than that, the Molad of any given month does not play into the calculus here. So that was what we had concluded end of last class. The Rosh Hashanah is determined by Molad Tishrei based on certain variables we're going to look at tonight. Rosh Chodesh is determined by the alternating 29-30-day month cycle that we just talked about, irrespective of the Molad of that particular month. That's more or less the summary of the end of last week's class. Before we move into today, is there any questions on this? Okay, which brings us to where we are at, which is setting the holidays. This is where the majority of the focus of the calculations in the Rishonim is here, because this is what makes the calendar so dynamic, complex. Otherwise, you'd have a fixed 29-30-day month cycle and a fixed leap year cycle, and we could all go home. The reason our years look different from year to year is because Chazal had a certain perspective on how they wanted the holidays to fall, and to do that, they needed to play a little bit with the lengths of the years. Move a day here or a day there, and then, of course, move things back so that they don't get askew. And so we have what's called a concept called Dechiyot. And it's this concept that we're going to spend today and part of next week talking about. The primary issue here is to ensure that certain holidays do not fall on certain days of the week. That's the primary agenda. Everything else is secondary, but that's where it all stems from. To ensure that certain holidays do not fall on certain days of the week. How do you do that? Well, if by your calculation of the calendar, Rosh Hashanah is going to fall on a day that you don't want it to, so you will have two options. You can move Rosh Hashanah back, or you can move Rosh Hashanah forward. In order to do that, I have to play with the length of the year, because I have a fixed number of months. So if I play with the length of the year, go back to Cheshvan Kislev and make the year a day shorter or a day longer, and that's going to push Rosh Hashanah off. And so I play with the dates of the calendar by shortening or lengthening the year by one day, namely Cheshvan and Kislev, and I push off Rosh Hashanah from its calculated date. Rosh Hashanah should be the day of the Molad of Tishrei. How we get to the Molad of Tishrei is what we spent last week's class. How do we calculate Molad of Tishrei? That was all last week. We push off or doche Rosh Hashanah from the Molad of Tishrei in order to address these needs here. How does this work? So we're going to go right into it. First, there are four rules in the Dechiyah. There are only four concepts or four principles, rules, in the Dechiyah process. The first is the most important. Everything else revolves around it. And that is, of course, the famous statement, Lo Adu Rosh. What does Lo Adu Rosh mean? It means that, technically it means Rosh, referring to Rosh Hashanah, cannot fall, or we won't let it fall, on these days of the week. Sunday, Aleph, Dalet, Wednesday, fourth day, Vav, Friday. How does that work? So, officially, what this means is, Lo Adu Rosh really means that if Molad Tishrei, remember, everything's working off the calculations, we go back to the Molad Tishrei for all of these Dechiyot. If Molad Tishrei were to fall anywhere on a Sunday, Wednesday, or a Friday, we are going to postpone Rosh Hashanah to the next possible day. Okay, what does that mean? Why don't I just say we postpone it to the next day? Because the postponements are defined by the next possible day, because sometimes two postponements are going to work in tandem. Sometimes they're going to have a postponement for one reason, match a postponement for another reason, they're going to end up pushing Rosh Hashanah off 2 days. And so, what I'm really saying is, We're going to push Rosh Hashanah off to the next possible day based on what our calendar allows. Let's assume for the moment that, just as an example, I want to push Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah falls on Mola Tishrei falls on Sunday, and I need therefore to push it off to Monday. But I'm already at the end of a Shlema year. Let's assume for a moment, right? I don't have another day to play with, so I have to go back to the previous year and fiddle with that calculation. So there are a number of variables. We're going to see them all, but this is essentially the way it's defined. If Mola Tishrei falls on Sunday, Wednesday, or Friday, any of these days, Adu, then we postpone Rosh Hashanah to the next possible day. Why? That's the big question. 90% of the complications in our calendar come from this rule. Behooves us to understand why. Okay. So why is very simple. It actually has nothing to do with Rosh Hashanah. It actually has everything to do with other holidays that fall on certain days of the week based on when Rosh Hashanah falls. So for example, if Rosh Hashanah falls on a Friday, what day of the week is Yom Kippur going to fall?
Sunday.
If Rosh Hashanah falls on a Wednesday, what day of the week is Yom Kippur going to fall?
Friday.
If Rosh Hashanah falls on a Sunday, what day of the week is Yom Kippur going to fall?
Tuesday.
I don't really care about Yom Kippur falling on a Tuesday. However, I do care about when Hoshana Rabbah falls. And so Lo Adu Rosh is based on two principles. Principle number one, Rosh Hashanah on a Friday would lead to Yom Kippur on a Sunday. Rosh Hashanah on a Wednesday would lead to Yom Kippur on a Friday. Those are both no-nos. Why are they no-nos? Yom Kippur, juxtaposed to Shabbos, before or after, is a unique circumstance that Chazal wanted to avoid. The reason being, we have Yom Tov juxtaposed to Shabbos all the time. Yom Kippur is different. Because Yom Kippur is the only holiday that is similar to Shabbos in the prohibition of cooking. And so one of the reasons given is that Chazal did not want a situation with 2 days back to back with no ability to cook, especially pre-refrigeration. They were concerned about the availability of fresh food. Markets are closed, fresh food available. Motzei Yom Kippur or Motzei Shabbos after 2 days. 2 days of Iser Bishul, Chazal felt that was too onerous on the Tzibur. And so they could maneuver the calendar in such a way that they avoided Yom Kippur ever falling juxtaposed to Shabbos. The other reason that is given is that out of Kavod HaMeis, they didn't want to have 2 days without burial. Why you can bury on Yom Kippur, but not on Shabbos and Yom Kippur is a separate issue, but they didn't. That's another explanation that is given for why they didn't want Yom Kippur Friday or Sunday. Rosh Hashanah on a Sunday is a different issue altogether. Rosh Hashanah on a Sunday is the same month with the same calculation in which Hoshana Rabbah would fall on Shabbos. And Chazal did not want Hoshana Rabbah to fall on Shabbos ever. Why? Because the hakafos of Hoshanos, which is a tefillah for rain, was considered too fundamental, a tefillah for the necessary life of the community, for us to forego it because of Shabbos. So, interesting perspective on how they looked at tefillah. Wasn't just about going through the motions. If you had a year in which you couldn't bring the aravos and you couldn't do hakafos with the aravos because of Shabbos, you missed out on the hakafas for the Hoshanas for the tefillah for rain. That was life and death for the community. So the other variable here is to avoid canceling the hakafas with the arava, to avoid Hoshana Rabbah on Shabbos. That's it. Those are the variables for which everything else revolves around. Lo Adu Rosh, Rosh Yom Kippur should never fall on Sunday or Friday. Hoshana Rabbah should never fall on Shabbos. The way we do that is to ensure that Mola Tishrei, whenever it falls out, can be separated from Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah cannot fall on Sunday, Wednesday, or Friday. Clear? All right. Before we get into the practicality of it, I'm going to introduce you to one more dechiyah. There are four dechiyot in total. We're going to primarily focus on this one and on one other. A simple one to explain, a more complicated one to understand. And it's called Molad Zake. Anybody hear the concept of Molad Zake? Molad Zake means, what does Zake mean? Old. An old Molad. What's an old Molad? An old Molad means, in the course of a 24-hour period, the Molad can come at the beginning of the day, the Molad can come at the end of the day. Imagine to yourself the 24-hour period of the day in which the Molad occurs as the life of a person. 6 p.m. 0 hour is the youth of the person. When is the Molad old? 5 p.m. the next day. So the Molad Zaken is any Molad that occurs after or within the last 6 hours of the day, from 18 hours and on. Remember, our day starts at 6 p.m. Our calendar day starts at an arbitrary 6 p.m. at 0 hour. So 18 hours is 12 noon. So anywhere between 12 noon and 6 p.m. on our Molad clock, Molad on that part of the day is considered Molad Zaken. It's a Molad at the end of the day. The rule is that Rosh Hashanah will always occur on the day of Molad Tishrei, unless it's a Aleph Daled Vav, or it's a Molad Zaken. If it's a Molad Zaken, Baal Tidrosh, a Molad on the end of the day, you do not expound, you do not accept. If the Molad of Tishrei falls on later than the 18th hour or 12 p.m., then Rosh Hashanah is postponed to the next possible day. I will come back to the question of why. The reason for Molad Tishrei, for Molad Zaken, is an enormous debate. Debate amongst mathematicians, debate amongst scholars, debate amongst the Rishonim and the Gaonim. Molad Zaken is one of those stories that it's clear in the Gemara, it's clear in the Halacha, it's not clear as to why. I'll offer you two possible scenarios, both of which, or explanations, both of which have a little bit of a weak link to it. But we will come back to it. But I want to first understand what this means. So let's do a couple of simple examples. If I put Dechiyot 1 and 2 together, here's what it looks like. Let's assume for the moment that Molad Tishrei, by my calculation, and last week I gave you a chart of the Molad Tishrei of every year in the calendar from the year 4111 to the year 6000 on two sides of a piece of paper. Remember that? Okay. It's also very easy to calculate. We worked through all the numbers and all the calculations last week. If you weren't here, I can give you the sheets. By next week, it'll all be posted on the website, so you will be able to look at it too. Molad Tishrei falls on any particular day, a particular hour. Rosh Hashanah will be, based on the Dechiyot that we are discussing, this is what this chart, this screen, is supposed to identify. So let's do them one example at a time. Let's assume for the moment that Molad Tishrei, by our calculation, falls on day 1, hour 15. What's day 1, hour 15? So day 1 is Sunday. Hour 15 is hour 15 should be 6, 7, 8, 9 a.m. Correct? So the clock starts at 6 p.m. the night before. So 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. is 12 hours, 15 hours is 9 a.m. So Molad Tishrei on this particular year falls on Sunday morning, 15 hours, meaning 9 a.m. When will Rosh Hashanah, by our calculation, when should Rosh Hashanah be? Can it be on that Sunday? No, because?
Sunday.
Molad's because of Lo Adu Rosh. So what do? I have to move Rosh Hashanah to Monday. That's how Lo Adu Rosh works. That's an easy one. Okay? Let's try another example. Molad Tishrei by calculation is calculated to fall on day 2, 18 hours. What's day 2, 18 hours? Monday, 12 p.m. or later on that Monday. anytime between 18 hours and 23.99, or 23 hours and 1079 parts. Moled here would determine that Rosh Hashanah should fall on Monday. But the Molad is a Molad Zaken, past the 18th hour of the day. And so, instead of having Rosh Hashanah on a Monday, we're going to have Rosh Hashanah on Tuesday. Molad Zaken. Now, the third example is where life gets fun. Molad Tishrei is calculated to be 0 day, 23 hours, meaning Shabbos afternoon, 5 p.m. Right? That's when the molad falls. Shabbos afternoon, 5 p.m. Theoretically, work it through. Molad Zaken is 23 hours. Is hour 23 a molad Zaken? Yes. By molad Zaken rule, when should Rosh Hashanah be?
Sunday.
Next day, which is Sunday. But Rosh Hashanah can never be on Sunday because Lo Adu Rosh. And so I need to push Rosh Hashanah to the next possible day, which is Monday. And so here is an example where Rosh Hashanah gets pushed off 2 days from Molad Tishrei, not one. Molad Zaken plus Lo Adu Rosh requires that I push off Rosh Hashanah for 2 days. Now, the problem is, how do you push off 2 days? Because you only have a possibility. So the answer is, you'd have to work off the previous year and either add an extra day the previous year or pull off a day the previous year, right? And so you have to make the previous year chaser in order to give you the extra buffer. How all of that works in practice, we'll see at the very end of, if not today, next week. But that's in theory, you got to play with multiple years. And all the dechiyot are built into figuring out how to do just that. Well, they work off the mathematics. In the end, this is all going to come down to one chart, where you figure out when Molad Tishrei is, you figure out it's a leap year, you figure out where you are in the cycle, and then by chart, it's going to tell you exactly what to do. So we're going to see it's all going to come boil down to one piece of paper, but till we get there, that is a journey. Yes, sir?
After the Korban,
right? Well, the calendar is set in place by Hillel HaKotan, 4111, year 4111. So it's about, more or less, about 200 years after the Korban or so. The assumption is that up until that point, they're more or less in one place. And before the Jews started to scatter too far afield, the calendar was, but they had, the calendar was already in place before Hillel HaKotan. I think he just finalized the formulation of it. But there was a period of time when we had a dispute about it and we had two calendars operating. We're going to come to that story in a minute. But for the most part, it was done early enough after the Churban. It wasn't done right away, because for a period of time they still had Kiddush HaChodesh and then a dynamic calendar, but it was done early enough that it could, that the Jewish community as a whole was able to buy into it. Is this clear? All right. So the conclusion is that all of the mechanics of the Dechiyot, all of the Dechiyot of Rosh Hashanah, are made by adjusting Cheshvan and Kislev of the previous year. If I need Rosh Hashanah to fall on a Monday, and the Molad was on a Sunday, then I need to adjust Cheshvan and Kislev the year before. Which means that I'm constantly looking at Molad Tishrei this year, Molad Tishrei next year, and working at least 1 year in advance to figure out how to do it. And the truth is, we work more than 1 year in advance, but that's the practice. So here's what we work with. All the variables we have. What are all the possible variables that we can play with in a given calendar that would make up or that would affect the length of a year? The two big ones are whether the year is a leap year or not a leap year. Okay, that's going to make a difference of 30 days. Correct? So that's one of my two variables, the length of a year of a regular year versus the length of a gravid or leap year. The other variable is Cheshvan and Kislev, 29 days or 30 days. So what is the total length of my Hebrew calendar year given all of the possibilities? Cheshvan Kislev, length of a regular year, length of a gravid year. Just calculate the number of days in a month. Multiply that by the number of months we have, Cheshvan Kislev, and you come up with the following. So this is your typical year. A typical lunar year, if you ask the average Jew on the street, what's the difference between the Jewish calendar and the secular calendar, they'll tell you that the secular calendar has 365 days in it, and the Hebrew calendar has 354 days in it, and that is 11 days difference. Heard that before, correct? That is true only in this box. In this box, 29-30 days, a normal Kassidra year, with 12 months, the Hebrew calendar has 354 days in it. If my year is Chasera, my Hebrew calendar has 353 days. If my year is Shlema, it has 355 days. To a leap year, I add 30 days. Why? Because the only month I'm playing with it in a leap year is Adar. And Adar, the additional Adar, Adar Aleph, is always 30 days. So the difference between a leap year and a regular year is always going to be 30 days. So there are six possible year lengths in the Hebrew calendar, and only six. Three in a leap year, three in a regular year. So far? So good. What interests me, however, is not the length of the year. Remember, my interest is in what day of the week Rosh Hashanah falls, given what Rosh Hashanah was this year. So for that, I need to come back to our old friend, which is calendar math. Modulo 7. Everything is calculated based on what it shifts the day of the week in. So anything that's a multiple of 7 is irrelevant to me. So how many weeks are there in 354 days? There are 50 weeks and 4 days, which means that how much is Rosh Hashanah going to move from one year to the next in a Kassidra normal year?
4 days.
You see that? How much is Rosh Hashanah going to move in a Chasera regular year? 3 days. And in a Shlema year? 5 days. In a leap year, those numbers are going to increase by 2. In the case of a Chasera and Kassidra, and reduced by 5 in the case of Shlema. Why? Because I'm adding 30 days. Right, so I added 2 here. So that's, in the end, these are the numbers that I am interested in. What is the shift of the day of the week? How many days does the year shift between one Rosh Hashanah and the next? These are Rosh Hashanah. If I'm a full week, then I haven't done anything to Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is on a Monday this year, and it happens to be a leap year and a Shlema year. What day of the week is Rosh Hashanah going to fall next year?
Monday.
It's not going to move. Correct? These are the numbers, and they are exactly the same as those numbers there. That's the only number in this discussion that is relevant. I need to know what I'm doing to Rosh Hashanah from year to year. Okay. Once you break that down, we can now chart it out. Given any day of the week, if I start with Rosh Hashanah on, I can't start with Rosh Hashanah on a Sunday, but if I start with Rosh Hashanah on a Monday, and I tell you, here are your possibilities. Leap year, regular year, Chasera, Kassidu, or Shlema, you should be able to tell me when Rosh Hashanah is next year. Agreed? Which brings us to this chart. This is a chart of every possible year, or every possible option. Remember, we had 6 possibilities. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Correct? Of the year length and how many days it offsets Rosh Hashanah. If Rosh Hashanah this year is on any of these days, Rosh Hashanah can only be on one of these days. Correct?
Rosh Hashanah can only be Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. Nobody here in this room remembers Rosh Hashanah on a Sunday, correct? Nobody here remembers Rosh Hashanah on a Friday. I certainly hope not. You'd be very old. Given Rosh Hashanah this year, I have 6 possible year options. Leap year, regular year, Chaserah, Kesidra, Shlema. My only options. You look confused.
No, I'm just thinking about
something. Okay. Those are my only options. So now plug it in. If Rosh Hashanah this year is a Monday, and I'm in a regular year, not a leap year, and I'm in a Chaserah year, then I add 3 days to get to Rosh Hashanah next year. Because that was my previous chart, correct? 3? In a regular year, my options are moving Rosh Hashanah 3 days, 4 days, or 5 days. In a leap year, my options are moving Rosh Hashanah 5, 6, or 0. So come back. If Rosh Hashanah is on a Monday, 3 days would move it to Thursday, 4 days would move it to Friday, 5 days would move it to Shabbos. If Rosh Hashanah was a Tuesday, 3 days would move it to Friday, 4 days would move it to Shabbos, 5 days would move it to Sunday. Thursday would move Rosh Hashanah either to Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday. Shabbos would move Rosh Hashanah Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. That's in a regular year. In a leap year, same exercise, except that my jump is 5 days, 6 days, or 7 days. So this column here, on Shlema on a leap year, is going to look identical to this column here. Rosh Hashanah on a Monday for the year of Shlema. And it's a leap year. When's Rosh Hashanah going to be next year?
Same day.
Because my length of my year is exact multiple of 7. Now, this chart is only part of the story. Because you have to knock off the possibilities that can't exist. And the possibilities that can't exist are Rosh Hashanah on Sunday, Wednesday, or Friday. These are all the possible scenarios. If I have Rosh Hashanah on a given day of the week, and my year is Chaserah, Kesidra, Shlema, leap year or regular year, these are all the permutations. But some of those permutations are forbidden. Some of those permutations are not allowed. Because I can't allow any permutation that would take Rosh Hashanah to Sunday, Wednesday, or Friday. So I got to cross off this one. I got to cross off this one. What does it mean, cross it off? It means that if Rosh Hashanah is on a Monday, and the year is a normal, and the year is not a leap year, I will not allow the calendar to have an even number of a Kesidra sequence for Cheshvan and Kislev. I will not allow this possibility, because that would bring Rosh Hashanah to Friday. I will postpone it to Shabbos, or I'll postpone it to something else. But that option is not going to be allowed. So, if we cross off all of the forbidden options, so I cross off Friday, Wednesday, Sunday in this chart, and then I cross off Sunday, Wednesday, Friday in this chart, I'm going to cross off one more, Tuesday. Even though Rosh Hashanah could theoretically be on Tuesday. But this year calculation, Rosh Hashanah on a Tuesday, it's a leap year, Shlema to Rosh Hashanah Tuesday next year, would never happen. The molad of the year following would be on a Sunday or before noon on Monday, so there's never a reason to push Rosh Hashanah off to Tuesday. So that one gets removed just because it's not ever possible. It's not going to happen. It's just the math of it never works out. So if I remove all of the ones that are either forbidden or just not going to happen, I am left with how many legal permutations? You could count them, or you could read the numbers. Okay? And the answer is there are 14. There are 14 possible permutations to the calendar. And there are only 14 permutations to the calendar. Each permutation will eventually become known as a kviya type. A
kviya is a three-letter or three-digit number that tells me the variables in the calendar year. It tells me what day of the week Rosh Hashanah is. Tells me whether the year is Shlema or Kesidra or Chasera. It tells me whether the year is a leap year. It tells me when Rosh Hashanah is next year. It tells me all the pieces of information I need to know. In, based on this chart, it will boil it down to a three-digit number. There are only 14 options here. Does everybody understand why there are only 14 options? That's the critical piece here. We call it a kviya type. This is where it comes from. 14 possible permutations given the variables we have. Regular year or leap year. Chasera, Kesidra, Shlema. And the limitation of what days of the week Rosh Hashanah is allowed to fall leads me to these possible permutations. I want to pause for a second because I want you to process this. This is sort of the foundation from which everything else builds. So if there's any questions here, stop me now. By simple calculation, we can then therefore determine that certain year combinations are not possible. If it's a leap year, as we said, if it's a leap year, for the most part, it's unlikely to be a Kesidra year. The only possibility of a Kesidra year in a leap year is if Rosh Hashanah is on a Tuesday. Because any other possibility is limited. And so that'll eventually give way to a chart of statistics, how often each year type falls. There's the famous case of Pesach on a Sunday, or Erev Pesach on a Shabbos, which is the very rare year combination. We'll see why that's so rare and where it comes in this chart. But for now, we're just working off, before we get into the stats of it, just to make sure we understand this chart. Eventually, we're going to combine it into one chart. Is this clear? All right. Which leads me to the question which I started with, is what's the rationale to Molad Zaken? Molad Zaken is mysterious. It's mentioned in the Halacha. The Rishonim debate what the basis is for it. There's not really a clear understanding of why they instituted this Dechia. Lo Adurosh, we know why. That's clear. The other two Dechiyot that we're going to look at are very clear because they're built around the fact that at some point or another I could find myself in a situation where, in order to get Rosh Hashanah where I needed to get, I'm in a year type that's not allowed. So at that point I have to do a manipulation to a different year in order to get where I need to get. So those are the other two tefillot. Molad Zaken's a mystery. And so there are two theories that are most often quoted or prevalent about Molad Zaken. The first is mentioned in some of the Rishonim. The theory goes as follows. The Molad, as we talked about in the very first class, is an average calculation of the length of the cycle of the moon. But at the moment of the Molad, what is visible in the moon cycle? What part of the moon is visible when you're at the exact moment of the Molad? In theory, none of it. Right, none of it. So in theory, the moon should not be visible for anywhere between 6 to 12 hours after the Molad. Working with the theory of 6 hours, the theory goes that Chazal did not want a situation where Rosh Hashanah would occur on a day in which the new moon would never be seen. Because if the Molad is later than 6 hours than the end of the 18th hour or 18th hour and on, then you're not going to see the new moon before the day is over. And you're going to have a whole Rosh Hashanah without ever seeing the new moon. That's the theory. That Molad Zaken supposedly ensures that the new moon will always be seen on Rosh Hashanah itself. Without getting into the math of it, because I'm not sure I understand all the math of it, many of the scholars today claim that theory just doesn't work mathematically. A little more complicated than that, but there is a second theory to Molad Zaken, And you can see it in the various articles that are written about the calendar. And the theory goes as follows. The calendar makers wanted to make sure that no month would begin before the actual setting in of the new moon of the Moled. They wanted to make sure that no month in the year would ever occur before the Moled. Now, Rosh Chodesh could be after the Moled. But the theory is that Moled Zaken of Rosh Hashanah ensures that no Rosh Chodesh through the year would ever fall before the Moled of that given month. That's the theory. Two quick examples. Moled Tishrei in a given year, let's say, is 3 days, 21 hours, 68 parts. If I add, let's say, the fourth month, a shift would take me... Remember we talked about this last class, that the Moled shifts by in any given month a certain amount. If I add that by 4 months, I get 6 days, 2 hours, and 12 parts, would bring the Moled of Shvat, happens to be, Rosh Chodesh Shvat is tomorrow, ironically, tonight, would bring it to 3 days, 0 hours, 0 parts. Rosh Chodesh Shvat would therefore need to be on Rosh Chodesh Shvat would need to be on a Monday, because it's always 118 days after Rosh Hashanah. Moled Shvat falls on Tuesday by this calculation, and you end up with a situation where Rosh Chodesh is the day before the Moled. So that's the theory that Moled Zaken, because Moled Tishrei here is a Moled Zaken, you can see that, sometimes creates a situation where some Rosh Chodesh during the year would fall before the Moled. Here's another calculation of the same idea. This one's actually an interesting situation because I don't get into the math of it because it's a little tricky, but the theory is that Moled Zaken is an imprecise number. It's a round off. You could theoretically come to the same calculation, the same conclusion, by being more precise and having the moment of Moled Zaken, meaning not 18 hours, but 18 hours and 657 parts. Like, you could fine-tune it a little bit more. That gave rise to a great debate in the year 920, where Rav Aaron ben Meir of Palestine wanted to change the rules of the Tachia to that 18 hours, 642 parts. Actually, that's incorrect. But okay, it doesn't matter. Wanted to change it to another number. Rav Sadia Gaon fought against him, and there was a period of time when there was, in fact, two calendars operating, Rav Sadia Gaon's and Rav Aaron ben Meir's, and eventually Rav Sadia Gaon won out that debate, because anybody who thinks that they are going to go up against the Sadia Gaon and win doesn't deserve to have the halacha follow his opinion. Anyway, Sadia Gaon was the Sadia Gaon. So that's just an interesting story. Total trivia and tidbit. Are we ready for number 3 and 4? All right. This is where... Ooh, what happened here? I don't know what happened here. Okay. Mm-hmm. What happened here was... should not have happened. The third dechia is called Gatrad Bapshuta Grosh. Don't worry about the funny language. Gatrad. What does Gatrad mean? So these are our acronyms for Molad dates or times. Gimel is the third day. Nine, Tet, is the ninth hour. Resh Dalet, 204 parts. If the Moled of Tishrei falls on a Tuesday, 9 hours, 204 parts, in a simple year, I have a problem. And I have to do something to fix my problem. What's my problem? Let's work it out. If the Moled of Tishrei falls on Tuesday, 9 hours, 204 parts, when is Rosh Hashanah? When should Rosh Hashanah be? Tuesday. Everybody with me? If the Moled of Tishrei falls on third day, 9 hours, 204 parts, Rosh Hashanah should be Tuesday. Is there any reason why that's not the case? Is it a violation of Lo Adu Rosh? No.
Is it a molad zaken?
No.
No. So this, by all accounts, should be Rosh Hashanah on a
Tuesday.
Now, a year later, had the molad shift over the course of a year. We had that, that's a fixed number. We talked about this number, we calculated it last week. From year to year, the molad, forgetting the calendar shift, but the actual molad shifts astronomically 12 times the monthly molad. The monthly molad we saw is 29 days, 12 hours, 793 parts, multiply that by 12, modulo 7, and you end up with an annual shift of 4 days, 8 hours, and 876 parts. When you add that together, modulo 7, you end up with the next molad, molad next year, at 7 days, 18 hours. 7 days, 18 hours is molad, is the 18th hour of Shabbos. Okay? It's the same as 0 day. Molad Zaken combined with Lo Adurosh should push Rosh Hashanah to next Monday. So I have Rosh Hashanah this year on Tuesday, Rosh Hashanah next year on a Monday. So far, so good? Let's go back to our chart. Rosh Hashanah this year on a Tuesday, what are the only legal variables I have for Rosh Hashanah next year? I don't have a way to do it. They're either Friday, in a Chaser year, Shabbos or in a Kassidra year, Shlema, Sunday, well, Sunday's not allowed anyway. I have no way to get Rosh Hashanah next year to a Monday if I start on a Tuesday in a leap, in a non-leap year with a molad later than 9 hours, 204 parts, because it's going to give me a molad zakan on a Shabbos. See the problem? Do this again. It's a certain calculus of when the molad is this year that will reach a molad zaken on a Shabbos next year. Molad zaken on a Shabbos is your classic example where you need a 2 days push. But if I start that on a Tuesday, and my Rosh Hashanah therefore this year should be a Tuesday, I have no way of getting Rosh Hashanah next year to a Monday. Because my only three possibilities are Friday, Shabbos, and Sunday. If Rosh Hashanah is on a Tuesday and it's a non-leap year, I really only have one option, which is a Kassidri year. That's going to take Rosh Hashanah to Shabbos, not to Monday. But it's a Molad Zaken. You understand why next Molad should be Shabbos. Rosh Hashanah next year should be Shabbos.
It's Friday until the year
end. Right? Molad Tuesday afternoon should be Rosh Hashanah on a Tuesday this year. Next year, the Molad is going to fall Shabbos afternoon. Theoretically, Rosh Hashanah, on a normal year, Rosh Hashanah should be Shabbos. I start a Tuesday, Rosh Hashanah in a normal year, Rosh Hashanah should be Shabbos. That works.
And you can't pull it back.
But the problem is Molad Zaken. Molad Zaken pushes Rosh Hashanah to Sunday. Lo Adurosh pushes Rosh Hashanah to Monday. I can't do that.
Oh, because you can't move it before or back.
Right? I only have one option. So the answer here is I have to move this Rosh Hashanah. And the only way to get Rosh Hashanah next year to a Monday is to move this Rosh Hashanah from Tuesday to Thursday. How do I do that? Go back to the previous year and add a day. So that's another one of these dechiyot, which is designed to avoid a particular convergence of scenarios where Molad Zaken plus Lo Adurosh gives me an impossible conclusion, and so I have to adjust this year instead of next year. Yes? You don't have to remember this. This is the process of it. That leads to a that's what we just said, that this is not possible because it would require a year of 356 days. And so it leads me to the rule of Katrad, which is that when Mola Tishrei falls 9 hours, 204 parts or later on Tuesday of a simple year, Rosh Hashanah is postponed from Tuesday to Thursday. Why? Okay, here's the why. What we have to know is that, in fact, when Mola Tishrei falls, right, there's just four rules we need to remember. Mola Tishrei falls in such and such a box, we're going to move Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is not going to be on Tuesday, it's going to be on Thursday. And then we'll worry about everything else later. If I move Rosh Hashanah forward, then the following year likely is that I need to move Rosh Hashanah back. That's just the way it works. All right. One more Dechia, and then we'll have all four Dechias in our lap.
Betu tokpat achar ha'ibur akur milishrosh. Which means, the language here was very archaic, but what basically it means, if I have a situation where I have betu means Monday, 15 hours, second day, 15 hours, 400 plus another 100 plus 80 plus 9 is 589. So 2 days, 15 hours, 589 parts after a leap year. If my Moled falls, by my calculation, at the end of a leap year, the Moled following a leap year falls on 2 days, 15 hours, 589 parts or later, then I have to go back and manipulate the previous year. Then I'm in trouble. Why? So let's work it through. To reach this number, Moled of 2 days, 15 hours, 589 parts, after a leap year, that means that my previous year, we're working this backwards, my previous year was a gravid tkufa shift. Remember that my tkufa shifts 12 months of 29 days, 12 hours, 793 parts in a non-leap year. 13 months, or 13 times that number in a leap year. And so this is the number that I use when I want to calculate the difference in Mola Tishrei this year and Mola Tishrei next year in a leap year. Remember we have a 19-year chart up in the first one of the first classes? That's how we cut it. So this is my number. I subtract this from here, and I end up here. So this is Tuesday, 18 hours, 0 parts. Rosh Hashanah, Tuesday, Mola Tishrei, Tuesday, 18 hours, 0 parts, before leap year. Rosh Hashanah, or Mola Tishrei, I should say, on a Tuesday, 18 hours, 0 parts, before leap year. What happens?
It's a Zakein.
Which will become Wednesday. But it can't be Wednesday, so it's because of Lo'ad Rosh, which means that Rosh Hashanah this year is going to be on a
Thursday.
So far, so good. Rosh Hashanah is on a Thursday of this year. Now I have a leap year. Shift my leap year. My Moled next year falls 2 days, 15 hours, 589 parts, which means Rosh Hashanah needs to be on a Monday. So on a leap year, I need to get Rosh Hashanah from Thursday to Monday. Simple task? Simple task? Not the simple task. Why? Here's my leap year. Here's my Thursday Rosh Hashanah. Correct? What are my options?
Tuesday
or Thursday?
Not Monday.
There's no Monday. It's not possible. It would require a year of 382 days. We don't have a year of 382 days. A year, it's a day too long. I can't make a chasera, because that will bring Rosh Hashanah to Tuesday. Rosh Hashanah needs to be Monday. So, the dechia is, when this occurs, what do you think the simplest solution is?
Make
the
shlema.
Well, you can't make the shlema. It's not going to help.
Previous.
Well, I could either move, but let's assume for a moment that needed to be Thursday. It's a simple solution. Instead of moving Rosh Hashanah here, move Rosh Hashanah here from Monday to
Tuesday.
All right.
I should check out of here.
It's sorry, I just add a day. So the end result is Betu Tokpat after a leap year means that I'm going to push Rosh Hashanah a day late, and Rosh Hashanah is going to end up being on Tuesday instead of on Monday, and that's the law. The Dechia, when Mola Tishrei following a leap year falls Monday 15 hours following the 89 parts or later, Rosh Hashanah of that year is going to be postponed from its normal day, which would be Monday. No reason to postpone Rosh Hashanah off a Monday. Except under these circumstances, Rosh Hashanah will be on Tuesday, not on Monday. In other words, Rosh Hashanah should be on the day of the Molad. But it can't be on the day of the Molad. I can't get it there, so it's going to be a day late. Correct, except that in Rosh Hashanah, that's not typically the case, right? Rosh Hashanah, we try to make the Rosh Hashanah on the day of the Molad, unless one of these four dechiyot pushes it off. So the first two dechiyot had to do with a broader canvas of interests, Lo Adurosh and Molad Zaken. The latter two have to do with the specific math of the first two. I can't get Rosh Hashanah to Monday in this circumstance, so I'm going to live with Rosh Hashanah on a Tuesday and call it a dechiyot. Or in the previous case, I can't get Rosh Hashanah from a Tuesday to a whatever day it was, and so I'm going to live with pushing Rosh Hashanah to a Thursday and call it here. So, in summary, this is everything we know about the Dechiyot. There are four dechiyot, and only four. There are four rationales, four reasons, four postponements, or four moments in which we are going to move, or reasons we're going to move Rosh Hashanah off of the day of Molad Tishrei. The first is the simplest, namely, Lo Adurosh. If the Molad falls on Sunday, Wednesday, Friday, we're simply going to make Rosh Hashanah the next available day. Oops, I was supposed to go one at a time. Okay. Rosh Hashanah can never fall on Sunday, Wednesday, or Friday. The second is called Molad Zaken Al Tidrosh. We don't want Molad to be, we don't want Rosh Hashanah to be on a day of the Molad of Tishrei if the Molad of Tishrei is later than 18 plus hours or noon or later. So there too, Rosh Hashanah will be postponed to the next possible day. Combining these two could end up pushing Rosh Hashanah as much as 2 days off the Molad of Tishrei. Distinct possibility. And then I have two more dechiyot that have to do with the specific limitations of the different types of years I can have. I only have 14 options of permutations. I have a limited number of variables, Shlema, Chasera, Kasidra, leap year or normal year. And so, in a case of Gatrad Bipshuta, if the Molad of Tishrei introducing a simple year falls later than the 3 days, 9 hours, 204 parts, Rosh Hashanah, which should be on the Tuesday, third day, 9 hours, Rosh Hashanah should be on the Tuesday, we're not going to make Rosh Hashanah on that Tuesday, we're going to make Rosh Hashanah on Thursday, so that the following year we can bring Rosh Hashanah back to its possible day. And similarly, Betu Tokpat after a leap year, if Molad Tishrei following a leap year falls 2 days, 15 hours, farm, did 89 parts, then Rosh Hashanah that year, which should be on a Monday, is not going to be on a Monday, it's going to be on Tuesday. That's it. Those are the total variable options for the calendar. Based on those variables, we will eventually chart out every possible permutation and how to calculate them. We could literally plug it into a computer program, and in the year 4111, they plugged it into the computer program of Hillel HaKatan, and out came a calendar. Now you understand, it's not a cycle. It's not going to repeat itself. These permutations don't repeat themselves. Every year has to be calculated based on what the Molad is this year, what the Molad is next year. Okay, so you can calculate it, you can look it up on the chart, But it's not like the 19-year cycle where every third, sixth, eighth, ninth, 11th, etc. year there's going to be a leap year. There is no pattern to this. The total permutations necessary to bring the entire calendar into a repeated cycle, I'll calculate for you, but at the end of this whole story, suffice it to say, it's in the hundreds of thousands of years before the entire calendar will repeat itself. So we're not working off a cycle, we're working off a calculation. Every year calculated Mola Tishrei this year, Mola Tishrei next year, and how we come to that numbers. Questions on this before we have a few extra have we run out of time? What time is it? No, we have a few extra minutes. We're going to do a little bit more, but I want to make sure this is clear. Right? We don't need to remember these numbers, Katrad and Vetutapat. Too complicated to remember them. In the end, they're all going to be built into a chart that we're going to work with. But it's important to understand the concept. These first two are specific to the calendar requirements. We want to make sure that Rosh Hashanah falls on the right day of the week and the right time of the day. The latter two are an address to the fact that I have a limited number of variables I can work with. And so when those variables run into a problem, I have to shift Rosh Hashanah off the Molad for reasons that are built upon that permutation.
Are those the only two that present those kind of problems?
Yes. Everything else is built into the system.
Everything else works.
Everything else works. Everything else works. All right. We're going to go a little bit further, if you have the patience. I think we have about 6 minutes left. We're going to go a little bit further. I'll just make life a little bit easier for us next week. And move into the calculation or the symbol, the numerology of the kviya. What is a kviya and what do the numbers represent? So we already established that we have 14 possible year permutations. This chart should be familiar. Those 14 possible permutations are built around the days of the week Rosh Hashanah is allowed to fall, leap year versus non-leap year, chasera kesidra shlema, taking out the options that don't work. This is a very complex chart, and it's two charts. It's hard to work with two charts. So we're going to do something very unfair. We're going to look at this chart very carefully, and let's do the following. Let's take a look at Monday. If Monday is a chasera year, if Rosh Hashanah is Monday, and the year is chasera, then Rosh Hashanah next year is going to fall on a Thursday. Or if it's a leap year, Rosh Hashanah is going to fall on Shabbos. Correct? If I'm going a little bit ahead of myself. All right. If Rosh Hashanah falls on if the year is Shlema, then Rosh Hashanah this year is a Monday, and the year is a regular year, Rosh Hashanah will fall on Shabbos. If it's Shlema, Rosh Hashanah will fall on Monday. Sorry, if it's a leap year, Rosh Hashanah will fall on Monday. If you look at these charts, there are always two different possibilities. Monday in a leap year, Kesidra, is not possible. In a regular year is not possible. In a leap year is also not possible. Okay, Tuesday, Rosh Hashanah on a Tuesday this year. Kesidra in a non-leap year would fall on Shabbos. In a leap year would fall on Monday. Rosh Hashanah on a Shabbos. In a non-leap year, Chasera would fall on Tuesday. Shlema would fall on Thursday. In a leap year, Chasera would fall on Thursday. Shlema would fall on Shabbos. What am I getting at? These charts are combinable. They combine them. Right? I can just work off, instead of two separate charts, I can combine them into one chart that is divided up into Chasera, Kesidra, Shlema, simple year, gravid year, simple year, gravid year, simple year, gravid year, and now I can look at, now I can chart it out. So same information in this chart as in the previous chart. True? Gets even better though.
Because one of these variables is actually unnecessary.
Why is one variable unnecessary? How many total variables are on this chart? Four. Rosh Hashanah this year?
Oh, okay.
Chasera Kesidra Shlema, simple year or leap year. And Rosh Hashanah next year. One of those variables is unnecessary. Variable that's unnecessary is leap year. I don't need to tell you if it's a leap year or not a leap year. You could figure it out. Why?
It's a leap year, add two.
Because what?
If it's a leap year, add two.
No, besides that, there is no option here that could confuse me if I took the leap year variable out. If Rosh Hashanah this year is a Monday, and I told you that Rosh Hashanah next year was a Thursday, and it was a Chasera year, would you know if it's a leap year or a regular year? Look at this line, first line. I told you that Rosh Hashanah this year was Monday, and I told you that Rosh Hashanah next year was Thursday, and I told you that the year was Chasera. Would you know if it's a leap year or a gravid year? A leap year or a simple year?
Simple year.
Is there a possibility to be a leap year?
No.
Why not?
Because it had to, because it shifts to two.
There's no other permutation that gives me Rosh Hashanah from Monday to Thursday, right, other than Chasera in a non-leap year.
What about, like, the, that was the Rosh Hashanah one?
Say that again?
What about, like Monday on a gravid year?
Yeah. Chasera Kesidra Shlema.
So, if you knew, because you know if it's Chasera.
The three variables that I need to know are Rosh Hashanah this year, Rosh Hashanah next year, and Chasera Kesidra Shlema. They will tell me if it's a leap year. Because there are, just the way the permutations work out, there is no confusion if I take that variable out of my nomenclature. If I told you Rosh Hashanah on a Monday, and the year was Shlema, and Rosh Hashanah next year was Shabbos. Let's do that example. Monday, Rosh Hashanah this year, Monday. Rosh Hashanah next year, Shabbos. And the year is Shlema. Do you know if it's a leap year or a non-leap year? I have two Shabboses. I have a Shabbos here and a Shabbos there. Number two and number three. So how do I know if it's a leap year or a non-leap year?
Because
I said it was a Shlema. And in a Shlema, there's no other option. It has to be a simple year. If I said Rosh Hashanah was a Monday this year and Rosh Hashanah was Monday next year, then it has to be a leap year and it has to be Shlema. There is no other option for a Monday. You with me? Let's take Thursday. Thursday, Rosh Hashanah this year is the Thursday. Rosh Hashanah next year is Monday. And I tell you, or let's take an example, Tuesday. Rosh Hashanah next year is Tuesday. Thursday to Tuesday. And I tell you the year is Chasera. Do you know if it's a gravid year or a simple year?
Yes.
Because? To Rosh Hashanah to go from Thursday to Tuesday, in a Chasera year, there is no other Chasera year that gives me. Right. These are mutually exclusive options, if you, it's basically what I'm getting at.
Well, and also, there's no Thursday symbol Chasera option.
Correct. So, in the end, I have 14 permutations, but that are built around four variables. Rosh Hashanah this year, Rosh Hashanah next year, Chasera, Kesidra, Shlema, leap year, but the leap year variable can be derived from the other three. Is this clear? Why is that important? Because the kviya, which is the year type, only has three numbers in it, not four. So the kviya does not include, each number of the kviya, each year type, each letter in the three-digit, three-letter number that determines the information about a year, does not have a column for leap year or regular year. We have to derive that from the other three variables. I'm going to skip this for a second. I'll come back to it. But basically what it comes down to is that my kviya is going to be built around three variables. Rosh Hashanah this year, Rosh Hashanah next year, don't worry about what it says, Pesach. Rosh Hashanah next year, and the year type, meaning Chaseira Kasid Vishlem. They will tell me if it's a leap. So everything revolves around those numbers. This chart. The only other variable that I need to remember is that knowing Rosh Hashanah this year and Rosh Hashanah next year means that I have to work with information of two calendar years at a time. That can be cumbersome. If I want to publish a calendar, I don't want to have to work with two calendar years at the same time. It's cumbersome. But in truth, with a little bit of finesse, I don't need to work with two calendar years. I can work with one calendar year. Why? Because there's an absolute one-to-one correlation between Rosh Hashanah next year, the day of the week that Rosh Hashanah will fall, and the day of the week of Pesach this year.
There's no variables between.
Correct. There's a famous sif in the Shulchan Aruch that talks about the fact that between Pesach and Rosh Hashanah is a fixed number of days. It never changes. The only variables in the calendar are Adar, which is before Pesach, Cheshvan and Kislev. Between Pesach and Rosh Hashanah is a fixed number of days. Never changes. Total number of days is 263 days, which is 23 weeks and 2 days, which means that Rosh Hashanah will always be on the third day of Pesach. You've heard that before, right? Day of the week wise, Rosh Hashanah, first day of Rosh Hashanah will always correspond to the third day of Pesach. Yes? Not the third day of Pesach coming, the third day of Pesach past. So if I have Rosh Hashanah this year and I need Rosh Hashanah next year, in my calendar nomenclature, I'm not going to work with Rosh Hashanah next year because that's a variable of next year's calendar. But I can work with Pesach this year. Pesach this year is the same as Rosh Hashanah next year, just off by 2 days. So what ends up happening, and that's this famous dictum, I'll come back to this next week in more detail, but Rosh Hashanah will always be the third day of Pesach, that's a fact. And so, this same chart, Rosh Hashanah this year, Rosh Hashanah next year, Chaseira Kasid Vishlema, my 14 year types, this exact chart that we just went through, right? I can replace this chart with a chart that has variables that are only in this calendar year. Rosh Hashanah this year, Cheshvan Kislev this year, and Pesach this year. Pesach this year will tell me Rosh Hashanah next year.
But how do you know what
Cheshvan Kislev is? Chaseira Kislev. With this chart, all my possibilities,
okay, this chart.
Okay. Okay, this chart can simply be replaced with an identical chart that simply moves everything to the first day of Pesach this year instead of Rosh Hashanah next year. So my variables are all internal to one calendar year. So what was
Thursday up here. Rosh Hashanah on a Thursday means Pesach this year would be on a Rosh Hashanah is Thursday. When's Pesach?
Tuesday.
If Rosh Hashanah is Shabbos, when's Pesach?
Thursday.
If Rosh Hashanah is Monday, when's Pesach? Shabbos. If Pesach's on a Sunday, where's Pesach on a Sunday? Here's Pesach on a Sunday. Right? And here's Pesach on a Sunday. That's a famous year that's so rare. Pesach falls on a Sunday. Pesach is Rosh Hashanah. And it's Erev Pesach is Shabbos. Pesach on a Sunday means Rosh Hashanah is on a
Tuesday.
Now
that's the Rosh Hashanah previous or after?
Tell me. Correlation between Pesach and Rosh Hashanah is that Pesach this year will determine is the same day. Third day of Pesach is the same day as Rosh Hashanah next year. That's
okay,
what this chart was.
Okay, Rosh Hashanah
that's what this year. Rosh Hashanah this year, Rosh Hashanah next year. That's what this chart was.
Right.
I've simply replaced these numbers, these days of the week. I have simply replaced them with the Pesach equivalents.
Rosh Hashanah this year, Pesach this year.
Rosh Hashanah this year. And then Pesach this year. And now I have three variables, Rosh Hashanah, Pesach, and Chaserah, Kasid, Vishlema, that are all this year focused. But they give me the same information. And that ends up being my 14-year types. There are four variables, of which I really only need three. Rosh Hashanah, Pesach, and Chaserah, Kasid, Vishlema. Those three variables will tell me automatically if it's a leap year, as we established. And that's my kviya. My kviya is a three-variable number that tells me all the information I need to know to define this calendar type. First day of Rosh Hashanah, Chaserah Kasid Rishleim of the year type, and the first day of Pesach. That's it. If I know those two variables, I know everything. I know when Rosh Hashanah is going to fall. I know when the Chagim fall. I know how many days Cheshvan and Kislev have to have. I know if it's a leap year or a non-leap year. Everything that we've established in this chart is now summarized in a three-digit number. 14-year possibilities, 14-year types, 14 different types of kviya, what they are, what they mean, what we do with them, we will talk about next week. That is where we end up.
And really the one that's first day Rosh Hashanah will not be...
This one can never be
one.
Aleph, Dalet, or Vav. And this one can never be?
2, 4, 7.
Right. Aleph, Dalet, Vav, Rosh Hashanah, Lo Adu Rosh, is the same as?
Lo Badu.
Lo Badu Pesach. For the same reason. Because if Pesach is on Monday, that means Rosh Hashanah would be Wednesday. Pesach, because it's the third day of Pesach is Rosh Hashanah, same day as Rosh Hashanah. If Pesach was a Wednesday, Rosh Hashanah would be Friday. If Pesach was a Friday, Rosh Hashanah would be Sunday. So they are exactly the same rule. Just 6 months apart. Is a reflection of the Rosh Hashanah rule. All right, we are adjourned. We will continue B'ezrat Hashem next week, session number 4.